Let's ask the Lord for the blessing of his word. Father, we thank you for your word. It is truth. It is sure. It is eternal. Speak to us tonight. Help us see a glimpse of Jesus as we look to your word and as we look to grow in grace more and more like him. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, you made it. You can breathe easy. You could be out on Harbison Boulevard right now, but you've chosen wisely. You're here. This is the right place to be tonight as we frame our minds, as we pull it all together and remember what is this crazy, hectic season that we call Christmas all about. So welcome. I'm glad that you're here. I know many are visiting with family and are here from out of town and other places, and we're delighted to have you here, even if it's just for tonight, in this moment, as we contemplate this gift of all gifts. A few years ago, our extended family began to grow, and it became increasingly expensive to buy everyone a gift. Maybe some of you have had that same dilemma. Well, we decided to have a gift exchange following our annual Christmas dinner, where everyone buys one gift, not to exceed a certain dollar limit, and then we draw numbers. When your number's called, you get to go pick a wrapped gift from the pile, or you can steal someone's opened gift if you like. I'm still trying to figure out how stealing fits in with the spirit of Christmas, but it sure is a lot of fun. We call it a white elephant exchange, but truth be told, these are usually nice gifts that you'd actually want. However, I do remember an annual white elephant gift exchange that I participated in for a number of years in college. These were true white elephants. Gifts that nobody wanted anymore, and it worked well with a bunch of poor college students in that setting. People would find all kinds of creative things to give. I remember someone found a toilet seat under their house, and they wrapped that up and gave it. One person on their way to the party found some roadkill on the side of the road and threw it in a box. And then there was the gift that came with a little poem, a poem that said something along the lines of, this person was giving a gift that they had been very attached to. Well, the small box contained a few months' worth of fingernail clippings. Well, through the years, all of us have no doubt been given some strange gifts. Maybe wondering yourselves, what were they thinking? And maybe you'll get something like that today, tonight, or tomorrow that'll require you to smile through that not so heartfelt thanks. But remember the old saying, it's not the gift, but the thought that counts. At first glance, the gifts of the wise men might seem a bit odd to us. We don't precisely know how many of them came to visit Jesus in Bethlehem, but we do know that they brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We've all learned that from when we were very young, perhaps. Tonight and tomorrow, there'll be lots of smiles and a lot of happiness in the world as people give and receive gifts. Often there's just as much joy, if not more joy, in giving than in receiving. So before we begin taking gifts to the various places you might go tonight or tomorrow, let me ask you a question. What gift did you bring for Jesus tonight? I'd imagine you came here anticipating to encounter him in some way. Did you come prepared with a gift for his birthday? Let's consider that question as we look at the wise men's three gifts for the next few minutes together. The first gift of the wise men was gold. Well, since ancient times, gold has been a precious metal considered one of the rarest and most expensive. It is the metal of kings and emperors and pharaohs and love. It mesmerizes us with its shiny beauty. It has intrinsic value that, generally speaking, rises over the years. The wise men told King Herod that they had come to Israel in search of the king of the Jews, for they had seen his star when it rose and had traveled a great distance to worship him. Well, appropriately, they brought gold for this baby king. This signified Jesus' royal status as the King of the Jews, ultimately the King of Kings. They brought the most valuable item they could think of to honor Jesus. And so again, what is it that you should bring to Jesus tonight? Is there something in your life, something else other than Jesus that's jockeying or vying for that first place? Something in competition with him? Maybe it's your money and possessions or a relationship, your time, your vocation perhaps, or pleasures of this world, food and drink and other things. Is there something in your life that isn't subject to King Jesus, something more precious to you than he is? Well, Jesus wants to be the object of your affection. If he is your Savior, then he is also your Lord and your King. And you owe him everything. Everything and everyone else should be in second place. For you were purchased by something of much more value than gold. You were bought with his precious blood that he shed for you on the cross. The psalmist Asaph says in Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Is that something you can say in your own life? Can you agree with the psalmist that Jesus is your strength and your eternal portion? Well, submit to him today as your king. Make sure every facet of your life is under his control. Bring it all together, wrapped up as a gift. It's a gift of gold for Jesus. And find great joy, even as the wise men did, because joy isn't found in the gold and stuff of Christmas. Give all of that to him and find your joy in him alone. The second gift was frankincense, a type of incense. In Israel, incense was used by the priests in their work and in worship. Priests were anointed to the ministry using incense. It was used in the act of temple offerings. Incense was also burned by the priests, creating a sweet aroma of smoke that filled the room and rose, signifying the prayers of God's people going to his throne in heaven. The priests used incense in their roles as mediators between God and the people. We don't know exactly why the wise men brought frankincense, what it meant to them, but it certainly points us to Christ's role as our mediator and our needful worship of him. Mediation is a common means of negotiation in our legal system today. It's preferable. It's preferable if things can be worked out between litigants by a third party, avoiding a costly trial and all that that entails. We understand what mediation is in principle. Well, sin created a wall of separation between God and humanity. All of us, at some time or another, have broken God's law. There's a guilty verdict over our heads that's inescapable. We need an advocate. We need a mediator. And it had to be one of us to represent us fairly in God's courtroom. This is why we celebrate Christmas. God became flesh in the person of his son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, in order to be our mediator. He came to heal that divide between us and God, to tear down the wall and to save us from our sins. He is the only way to God, the only mediator. But yet we still try other ways, don't we? I mean, what does this gift of incense look like in your own lives? How are you trying to get to God? Is it through a relationship with Jesus alone, or are there other things that you're banking on, other things that you're adding to that? Maybe you're counting on being a pretty good person, hoping that you cross your T's and dot your I's in this life. Maybe you're clinging to your family's faith and the history that that represents, or a of baptism long ago. Perhaps you think since you go to church that God owes you, like it's a, you know, benefit of membership. Jesus isn't going to share his role of mediator with anyone or anything. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Confess him as Savior and Lord and look only to him for salvation from sin. And Christian, what about those fears and doubts, many that surface even this time of year? Grief that we suffer through in this life, do they ever grab hold of you? Those things can be very real and very paralyzing in our lives. What do you do with the guilt and shame of your sin? You know, those sins that we repeat over and over again, those things that make you feel like a hypocrite. Well, in all of these things, we have an advocate with the Father, a mediator, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Rest in him. You don't have to try harder to win God's favor and love like a redheaded stepchild. Jesus has already gained that favor for you, and nothing you can do will make God love you more than he does right now. Find strength in the eternal promises of his word. Spend time with him in prayer and in worship. Be with his people, the church. Determine that in this new year even, that you'll turn away from yourself and find in Christ and in his means of grace that he has given us, the gifts that he has showered upon us, that you'll find in these things all that you need. Frankincense reminds us that as our prayers rise like fragrant incense to the throne of heaven, there is someone there. Someone hearing those prayers and working on our behalf at the right hand of the Father, God's own Son, Jesus the Christ, born for us on Christmas Day. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Christian, you need not worry or fear anything, because God will give you everything you need to prosper in this life, spiritually and physically. And it will come out of Jesus' own treasury of gifts in heaven. The third gift was myrrh. Another interesting gift. Again, we don't know why they brought it, but there are some interesting connections with it scripturally. Myrrh had some anesthetic properties. You might remember in Mark's gospel, in that account of the crucifixion, it was myrrh that was mixed with wine that they offered to Jesus to dull the pain that he was experiencing, and he refused. Myrrh was also used in the practice of embalming. When they buried Jesus in the tomb, it was Nicodemus, the first man to ever hear the words of John 3:16 from the lips of Jesus. It was Nicodemus that used 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to embalm Jesus' body. Biblically, then, myrrh has an association with the death of Jesus. Here at his birth, 33 years earlier, we're directed to his suffering and death. The manger has no significance without the cross. If Jesus had not been born to die, then he may as well have not been born at all. You cannot separate the cross from the cradle. To embrace the Jesus of Christmas and reject the Jesus of Good Friday and Easter is to reject all of him. You can't have one without the other. Well, how do we appropriate this gift of myrrh? In Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" In his own personal testimony, the Apostle Paul told the Galatians, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I must decrease, he must increase." Jesus died for us. And in response, we must wrap up our lives as a gift, a present to give to him by dying to ourselves and living for him. Christina Rossetti gave us the wonderful Christmas hymn in the bleak midwinter. The last stanza reads, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what I can, I give him. Give him my heart." Who or what are you living for this Christmas? If you fill in that blank with anything other than Jesus, you won't experience the joy of Christmas that God intends for his people. In verse 12 of Matthew, he tells us that the wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They departed to their own country by another way. They had a change of plans. The wise men had faithfully followed the star on their long journey to Bethlehem. They brought their gifts. They bowed down and worshiped Jesus. They did everything right. And then God threw a wrench in their plans. They dare not return to Herod for fear that they'd be killed. They had to sneak away and sneak out of Israel in another direction. Because of Jesus, now they were running for their lives. Following Christ can be risky. It may cost you something. Prestige, popularity, wealth. But the reward is everlasting joy. We don't know anything else about these wise men. They come and go in the scriptural account. As far as we know, they lived out the rest of their lives in relative obscurity. But they stepped out in faith. They followed his star, and they found Jesus, the King of heaven. And I have no doubt that that experience changed their lives forever. They feared God, and they obeyed him rather than man. And when they finally arrived, they were very excited, happy. Joy welled up in them like a volcano that they couldn't contain. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Hear these words from 1 Peter chapter 1, speaking of Jesus. It says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is the joy of Christmas, the joy that you can grab a hold of this year. The gifts, the feasting, the family and friends, they may come and go. But in the King of Kings, the secret of true joy can be found. A joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Give yourself wholly and completely to this King. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you and learn from him, for he is gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light." This life can often become weary, tiring, frustrating, chaotic. The Lord Jesus calls us to himself. His way is not a burden. His yoke is easy. He is a gentle and lowly Savior. And you will find rest for your souls in him. Amen. The King has come, and the King is coming back. So bring him your incense. Bring him your gold, your myrrh. Come poor and rich to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this indescribable gift of salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you saw fit in your plan of the ages to send him to earth as a babe in a manger, that he might provide a way for us to be reconciled to you. And so, Father, I pray for those that are here tonight that you would affirm your work of salvation in their hearts, even now, that those that are doubting, those that are in fear, those that aren't sure, Lord, that you would confirm it in their hearts, that they might confess you as Savior. And Lord, would you strengthen your people in their walk and in their faith? And as we walk through this Christmas holiday together, may we have the joy of the Lord as our strength. And may people see that and see the hope that it lies within us, and that we might express that hope in the fullness of Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.